Are you confused about the best way to learn about wine? We have the foolproof answer.
Think macaroni and cheese and wine don't go together? Think again.
And is it tough for a woman to be a winemaker? The answer may surprise you. That and much more is next.
Oh, wait a minute, Igor. May I look at the bottle?
What for do you want to look?
Hey, watch see if it's a vintage year. Is it?
Yes. Oh, that's a bad year. Bad year.
Perhaps this one's better for soft American.
No, this is a good year.
Water.
Now we will pour. You from your bottle, me from mine.
It's a democratic.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Wine Crush, a show that's all about wine and the lifestyle it creates. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson and Michael Ambrose.
Sure, I'm scared of them. So are you. So is anybody with any sense.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And there's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Michael and I are half human.
Laura, we're not so sure about you.
Shut up, Michael. The Wine Crush, the show all about the grape and all its glory, is here to edify you on everything you possibly ever wanted to know about the grape, about the glass, and about the vine. Michael and I are here to make you sound like you are extraordinarily intelligent to your friends and even your enemies. Whether you're one of our loyal Wine Crush Nation listeners or you just stumbled across us, there is one thing that you all have in common. There is no way you can know everything you would like to know about the blessed fermented grape unless you are in the wine business day in, day out. And it is day in, day out, day
yes,
in, day
is.
Out, day in and day out. It's a dark and stormy place Michael and I live in, but we have sworn our lives to making it easier for you to navigate through the blizzard of wine information to become much more of a court dork like yours truly.
Absolutely, yours truly.
With that goal in mind, the theme of today's show is facing the facts. Yes, that's right. We're going to point you at places in addition to the Wine Crush, although why I don't think you'd need places in addition to the Wine Crush, where you can become all you can be in your pursuit of wine wisdom. However, if your interest lies in the things like terroir, soil, pH, what side of the hill the grapes were grown in, what the sunlight slant was, how many degree days there are, or malolactic fermentation, you're not finding it here.
But seriously, it can be really confusing sometimes. Making informed buying decisions that fit your lifestyle and budget is what we're after.
Well, you're right. There's nothing worse than taking a shot in the dark on a wine and finding you have absolutely hate it. We'll do our best to help you avoid those moments over the next hour. Also on today's show, we will visit with the winemaker of one of America's premier Chardonnays, Melissa Stackhouse, who puts her talents to work at La Crema Winery. And when it comes to food, I don't know about you, but around the family dinner table at my house, when someone says we're having macaroni and cheese, my first thought is not what kind of wine we are having. However, winery chef Richard Hake is going to change the way you think about this American staple with another of his easy-to-make recipes. And of course, we open our Wine Crush home to you for all your questions via calls and emails. If you want to play along, here's how. You can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. And when you do call, a handsome and sexy voice will tell you what to do. Or you can email us at info@winecrush.com, which means you can always have that backspace button if you misspell something.
Yeah.
But before we launch into today's theme, Michael, what wine have you discovered in the past week that you would like to share with all your friends?
Laura, I have found a winery that I didn't even know existed.
Oh, wow. You actually admit to not knowing something. Oh,
yeah, this is the only winery that I didn't know didn't exist or did exist. It's called Elk Cove, E-L-K-C-O-V-E. It's in the Willamette Valley, and it's a Pinot Blanc, which is a little bit lighter style of a Pinot Grigio, so to speak. This one, this particular one was spicy. It had some pear and white peach flavors, nice and crisp. Costs about $18, and you do have to go to a wine shop to find it. I don't believe you'll find it in a large grocery store.
Well, some of those wines are definitely worth going out of your way for.
Well, listen, Laura, what's been wetting your whistle?
What has been wetting my whistle is planning a wedding. And no, it's not mine.
Not
before
yours.
You get,
uh-huh.
Yes, no,
okay.
It's not mine. But actually, this is for all of our listeners out there. I have found a $5 solution for all of you.
Oh.
All joking aside, I had to help a friend put on a wedding. And part of my job was catering coordinator, and providing the wine and making sure it all got lined up. But we did a wine called Tunnel of Elms.
Tunnel of Elms.
Tunnel of Elms. It's a Chardonnay, Cabernet, and Merlot. And all of it should hit your retail shelf probably around 5, 5 1/4. And you could use this in a blind tasting to really mess with your friends. Keep in mind that part of my job description is to pick out wines that I think most people will like. Tunnel of Elms is a perfect balance. It does not taste like grape juice. It does not take like Welch's. You get the oak on it. You get the flavors on it. Seriously, best value wine I have had in 5 years.
Okay, so where do you find it?
Any and everywhere. You can find it at your box stores. You can find it at your wine shops. It's definitely worth finding. But Tunnel of Elm, Chard Cab Merlot, it is an investor's dream.
Okay. And for if you've got a little more money, go with the Elk Cove.
All right. Enough of us babbling.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Remember, you don't have to reveal more than your first name when you call or email us, and no one will come to your home peddling subprime loans.
Oh, Laura.
Susie, welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And thank you for calling in and being part of the Crush. What can we do to help you today?
I drink a lot of Pinot Grigio, and my question today is, can you recommend a good Pinot Grigio that is under $10?
I know that I can. I don't know about my co-host. He doesn't like things that are under $10. He falls in that $30 category.
Yeah, he's like my husband.
Yes. Is that right? Your husband obviously has great taste.
Well, I guess so, but I think there's good Pinot Grigio is under $10.
Actually, there is. Cavit Pinot Grigio. It should come in. It should be at your grocery store shelves for around $8.99, $9.99. And the wine is really, really good. It's everything you expect out of a Pinot Grigio.
And Susie.
And what was it called again?
Cavit. C-A-V-I-T. I think Dick Cavit used to have a show on in the 50s and the 60s.
Dick Cavit. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, different spelling.
Oh, same last name. It works.
That's right. Hey, Susie. Yeah. Susie, yeah. Have you ever tried Chris Pinot Grigio?
No.
K-R-I-S. It's a lighter style. It's right in there in your price point. I would suggest that you just give it a try.
Okay, I'm writing both of those down. I thank you so much for your recommendations.
Oh, we're happy to do it. Hey, tell you what, though, you have to call us back and tell us if you liked them.
We absolutely will.
All right. Well, Susie, thank you so much for calling in, and we'll look forward to hearing from you soon.
I love your show. Okay,
thanks so much.
Bye.
Michael, as we're digging through our inbox on our email, I have found the email for you.
Indeed. What would that be?
This comes from Greg in Matthews, North Carolina. And when we asked him, what would you like to ask the crush? If Michael was a wine, what wine would that be?
Oh, Laura. Of course it would be a Bordeaux. Something that looks pretty calm on the outside, but it's got wonderful flavor and great taste. Now, Laura, let me just ask you the exact same question. If you were a wine, what wine would you be?
Why, of course, I'd be a champagne, Michael.
Oh, sparkly and tart.
I am bubbly and I am effervescent and I am always great at parties. Very, very simpler, which is better than your Bordeaux, stayed dirty, old sock kind of thing. Hey, we're both right on, I think.
We are right on.
All right, we have to step away to pay some bills, but when we come back, we're California bound to pair a wine with a cheese, but not in a way you might think.
What was it we had for dinner tonight?
Well, we had a choice, steak, fish.
Yes, I remember I had lasagna.
The Wine Crush.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Listen carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back. What do you hear?
Good deeds.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay, okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
All the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
Now move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
The opinions, intelligence, and all-around soundness of mind of the host of The Wine Crush vary with how much alcohol, sleep, and stress they have experienced at the time of recording. If you find errors, think that you find errors, or just want to take issue with something, call us at 1-877-4-CRUSH-1. We may return your call or air the correction depending on how moody the hosts are at that given moment. And remember, just because they claim to know everything does not mean they actually do or would admit fault anyway. Thank you.
And lucky for all of you, Michael and I are in very good moods today and thrilled to bring you 6 liters of wine information in a 2-liter box. And speaking of little boxes, you can see our smiling faces on your computer and find out all sort of fun things about wine. All you have to do is go to winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com. Check out our blogs, check out our commentary, check out our wine recommendations. And for those of you who are brave and may have missed a show along the way, you can listen to all of the past shows.
They do have to be brave.
You definitely do have to be brave. You know, we were talking about fun facts, wine facts, and growing your wine education. This is interesting. This is out of the Sommelier Journal. For those of you who really want to become wine geeks, I recommend this magazine. But it was talking about the growth of wine education. It gave 3 really good examples coming up across the country. The first is the Napa Valley Wine Educators Academy. It is at the Culinary Institute of America's Greystone Campus in St. Helena, California. In addition to that, if you live in the East Coast in New York, Cornell University is going to supplement its undergraduate enology and viticultural program with a teaching winery in Ithaca. This is going to open this fall. The winery will feature an outdoor crush pad, a bladder press, stainless steel distemmers, and temperature-controlled stainless steel tanks. Now, for those of you who tuned out when I gave those five terms, following up on wine education is not for you.
Those are kind of like necessities as far as making wine.
It does help, but I like any college that's going to offer a winemaking program.
And I've been to that Cornell University, and I can tell you they have some incredible, incredible programs.
They do. They have great people teaching up there. And finally, for our brethren in the South, the nation's leading wine and spirits distributor, Southern Wine and Spirits of America, has established Southern Wine and Spirits University. This is offering career training programs. For those of you who are tangentially in the wine business or thinking of getting in the wine business, it's worth pursuing. Website is www.southernwineandspirits.com.
So where will that take place?
It's somewhere in Florida, but I think it's going to be a rotating campus.
Oh, I see.
Meaning that any state that Southern's in, which is the Southeast,
right.
Will have an opportunity for people to be educated that way.
Okay.
We'll come back to this topic a little bit later, but now let's go back to your calls and emails.
Listen, I've got an email here that you might be interested in.
All right.
Kara says, can you explain what a rosé is, please?
Oh, from the man who's drinking pink.
Yeah.
I hate to steal your thunder. Kara, a rosé is a wine that has been made from red grapes, but they haven't let the wine juice sit on the skins long enough for it to become red.
Right.
So in certain cases, it's rosé of Syrah, rosé of Grenache, rosé of Merlot. You can make a rosé out of anything. And at that point, it's up to the winemaker what kind of rosé it's going to be.
And what color.
Yeah, whether it's going to be a dry rosé, meaning they're not going to add sugar back to it, or if it's going to be like a white Zinfandel, that they're going to add sugar back to.
Right.
But my favorite rosé is rosé champagne.
Yes, right, that's right. Another one of those cheap selections.
Of course, another one of those inexpensive. We never use the word cheap,
oh,
Michael.
Yes, that's
it's always
right.
Inexpensive. But no, a rosé champagne is a blend of the juices from Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and Chardonnay, which gives it that lovely pink lavender tint.
That's good.
All right. We're California bound. Answering your questions is a great way to burn calories, which means I am hungry again. This is a perfect time to head to the Golden State and our man with the food plan, Richard Hake. For our loyal listeners, we all know that Richard is the winery chef for the Robert Mondavi Winery. And this week, Richard is going to say cheese, but not in a way you might think.
Richard, it's great to have you back.
It's always a pleasure to be back, Michael and Laura.
Have you done anything fun since we last talked?
Just staying busy doing a lot of big meals for concerts here at the Robert Mondavi Winery.
Hey, any names we might recognize?
Yeah, Pat Benatar. She was hitting us with her best shot last week, and the recipe I'm sharing with you today is kind of a play on the mac and cheese that we did for 300 guests for the concert and the band.
So we're talking about macaroni and cheese this week.
Well, yes, macaroni and cheese, but not in the traditional sense. We're going to add a little shrimp, and it's going to be prepared in a quick and easy preparation and method, so you're not going to be sitting around waiting all day for it to cook.
Well, all of our listeners can check out this easy and versatile recipe on our Wine Crush website at winecrush.com. Okay, I've been eating macaroni and cheese since they made a microwave version, being the sterling cook that I am. Actually, before that, my grandmother was just a vicious Southern cook and still makes the best on the planet.
Yep.
What exactly makes this macaroni recipe different from all the others?
This mac and cheese is more of, I would say, an influence of my time working with French chefs. We're using penne pasta, and a penne gratin is the fancy word for it. Penne pasta, and you use a little bit of the pasta water with cream cheese to make your sauce. No shredding cheese, no cutting your knuckles up, shredding cheddar cheese. Using the pasta water, which is a great trick, you whisk in the cream cheese, and then you have your cheese sauce. And then we add shrimp, so kind of a little special touch, and sometimes I'll add a little lobster in, but I really recommend shrimp because we're going to pair it with the wine that I think really goes well with seafood. And you mix everything together. You add a little Parmesan cheese, parsley and lemon zest, and then you make a little breadcrumb topping and bake it for under the broiler for about 3 to 5 minutes.
Richard, although you like the shrimp, will it work with something other than a shrimp?
Absolutely. Chicken breast works really well. And you can take either some leftover chicken and tear that apart and fold it into your pasta, or just grill up a chicken breast and chop it up. That'll work perfectly.
Well, there you go. Richard, since we are a wine show, what kind of fermented grape would go along well with this dish?
Well, I'm going to recommend a Viognier with this. I like the fruit of the Viognier and the richness of the Viognier to pair with the shrimp and the cheese.
Richard, I'm like you. I'm thinking a little offbeat on this. I would pair this with a Chenin Blanc. I think something like that has enough acidity but a little bit of sweetness that cream cheese will really come through. Michael, what are you thinking?
Cheese and red wine always go great together, so I'm going to say a Pinot Noir with this. I think all of these creams and the cheeses, it sounds like a great recipe. I'd like to pick up a big glass of Pinot Noir and down it with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just excited that Richard picked something that I'm excited to make. Check out our website, Richard's latest easy-to-make creation that goes well with Chenin Blanc, goes well with Pinot Noir, goes well with Viognier. Richard, thanks so much for playing along today, and we'll see you next week.
I'll be here at the winery coming up with some more great recipes to share with you, Laura, and Michael.
Sounds great.
Hey, Laura, did you eat macaroni and cheese as a kid?
Morning, noon, and night.
Really?
And as an adult, still to this day, if I could, I'd eat it morning, noon, and night. I actually pick what restaurants these days that I'm going to go eat at, not based on their wine list, but whether or not they serve macaroni and cheese and whether it's good.
That's great.
In all sincerity, I joke about not cooking. I am personally working to perfect a macaroni and cheese recipe.
Really?
Yes, that is my one effort at culinary endeavors and the one thing I want to go down for. No, hands down, the food I am most passionate about than anything else. Big old bowl of macaroni and cheese, big glass of milk, and if there's a cold piece of fried chicken lying around, I'm a very happy little girl.
You know, I was out at the coast this past weekend, and I had not macaroni and cheese, but pimento cheese. I had the best pimento cheese sandwich of my life. It was really sharp pimento cheese. Wonderful.
Oh, God. You know, most people think about peanut butter and jelly when it takes them back to being a kid. Oh, no. Homemade pimento cheese.
That's right.
That
the
is
homemade
perfect.
Stuff, not that American cheese.
All right. Well, I hope you're happy because now I'm very, very, very hungry.
Yes.
While we send our pesky turkey vulture out to find us something to gnaw on, let's take this break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the winemaker from La Crema Winery, and it is a she.
Ooh.
You'll want to hear about her wine drinking suggestions, so stay with us.
The Wine Crush, your weekly tour of the world of wine and the people who enjoy it.
And now Jimmy Johnson's working on the Watson's garage door. He's got the old motor off. He's got the new motor on. The door's up. The door's down. He's gone. What do you got, Brett?
I got a stall truck here on Maple. Jimmy's got the hood up. His hands are a blur. I tell you, Doug, I haven't seen ratcheting like that in years. Now back to you.
He just finished building a new doghouse for an extremely appreciative Cocker Spaniel. Now he's wiping the slobber off. Wait, he sees a broken gate over to the
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college. Wanna go? You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. KnowHowToGo.org. Let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit KnowHowToGo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have had a fun show so far.
We really have.
We have truly faced the facts and actually let you know where you can find some more educational references besides us.
Yep.
We have spoken with Richard Hake, the winery chef for Robert Mondavi. And, of course, we have talked about our favorite food fancies. I want to know where that vulture is, or I'm going to drop him in a fryer if he doesn't bring something here shortly. If you have missed part of this wonderful show, you can catch us on the web at www.winecrush.com. You can catch up on this show. You can see our smiling faces. You can read our blogs with all the stuff our producer won't let us get on air. Really a great thing to check out. Definitely encourage you to do it.
Stomp them grapes and make that wine.
Here's a secret. For most of America's winemaking history, growing and bottling the blessed grape has been a man's job. I've been in the wine business as a wholesaler for 20-plus years, and for a long time, I was one of the few women in the business,
right.
So I understand how difficult this side can be. But thank God it's finally changing in recent years, and there's a lot more women in the business of making what you drink. One of these is our winemaker of the week. This is Melissa Stackhouse. She's the winemaker for Lacrima Winery in Sonoma County, California, and she joins us on the Wine Line. Melissa, welcome, thankfully, to The Crush.
Thanks. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're happy to have you. Anytime we get someone who has fun wines like yours, we love to talk about them.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the difficulties of being a female winemaker. Tell me what makes it different being female in this business.
Well, it's funny. I get that question a fair share, and I can't say there's any difference at all. I do think that frontier has passed us a little bit. I think more in terms of, you know, women like, you know, Zelma Long in the
right.
70s. I think it was far more difficult then for women to be winemakers, be in the vineyard, a little bit maybe less accepted. But, In my world, it's relatively common now to have women in winemaking positions and as vineyard managers. So I don't know. I guess it's not really that much of an issue in my world.
Well, we are sitting here and we're actually looking at two of your bottles. We are looking at Lacrima Russian River Chardonnay and Lacrima Russian River Pinot. And I have a question for you. Where did the name Lacrima come from?
Oh, boy. Well, Lacrima's been around since the late 70s, and it began as Lacrima Vinera, and that's like the cream of the vine. And Vinera was eventually dropped, and now Lacrima remains.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we had the pleasure of speaking with Melissa Stackhouse. She is the winemaker for Lacrima Winery. Melissa, tell us a little bit about the wines themselves. Tell us about Lacrima.
Well, we focus on appellations, regions, and how distinct Pinot Noir can be within those regions. And I think we've offered you some of the Appalachian wines. We focus mainly on the Sonoma Coast and the Anderson Valley, Carneros, and Russian River. So really just examining how Pinot Noir can be different in those regions and how that manifests itself in the wine. And, you know, there are definite nuances, these differences. If we were to taste any of these wines alongside a Cabernet, those nuances would come together. But these are just little differences in Pinot Noir based on where the fruit is grown.
I was reading from your website, Lacrima was founded in 79 and quickly established itself as a pioneer in intensely flavored Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. Explain that.
You know, as far as Chardonnay goes, we want that crispness. We want that salivaceous quality, you know, that bright acidity and that real fruit forwardness. And likewise, in the Pinot Noir, we want that fruit integrity and we want that real vexing floral characteristic that Pinot Noir can have. So that's kind of what we mean, you know, the intensely flavored, true to variety.
Pretty much you can find Lacrima wines any and everywhere. In doing that, obviously a lot of our listeners have had a chance to see your package and sample your wares. What advice do you have for beginning wine drinkers out there?
Remember that wine is really just fermenting grapes. And so it's only going to get as mysterious and enigmatic as you make it. You really just want to enjoy it. Wine should be very approachable. And, you know, I always suggest getting with a group of people and just tasting through wines and having fun with it and just trying different varieties as well. Our Sonoma Coast wines, our Sonoma Coast Chardonnay and Pinot Noir might be a great place to start. And then move on into those Appalachian series wines.
If someone were to go to your website, why don't you give us that so that people who are interested in your wines can get there?
Yeah, it's just www.lacrima.com. And there's all sorts of information on there. More information about the wines and winemaking and then events that we do. Talks a little bit about our tasting room in Healdsburg and our wine club. So there's a lot of information about the brand on there.
And that's L-A-C-R-E-M-A.
Yeah, Lacrima.
Okay, that's great.
It has been a delight having you on the show and talking about your background, both as a winemaker and as a female in this business. And, of course, I'm sure all of our listeners are happy to know a little bit more about at least one of our favorite Chardonnays on the show, the Lacrima.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
It's great hearing someone like Melissa who has a solid head about what she wants to do with her wine. And the fact that she's typical of a lot of people in the business, she kind of went around it a different way.
Yeah, right.
You know, so all of you out there who are sitting there just now learning about wine, think about Melissa's story. And who knows, in 5 years, you'll be falling in the wine business as well.
She is truly an inspiration to you gals, but she's making
to
some
us
great.
Gals.
Yeah. Oh,
to us
to
gals.
You ladies, women, whatever you'd like
us
to
gals.
Call yourself.
Us gals. Okay, just checking. And we're wondering why there's not many women in the wine business. Simply because we're scared of manslaughter charges. I'll tell you that's why. All right, our turkey vulture apparently heard my threat to fry him up because he has found us some ribs for us to strip to the bone. But before we actually do that, we have the easiest wine teaser in esteemed history of the Wine Crush. Our question this week is, who said a waltz and a glass of wine invite an encore? I bet you even get this one, Michael. Maybe you can have some gal help. The answer when we return.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine.
Yes, America's favorite program. We'll be back You'll get more laughs, more fun, more thrill.
This is the Wine Crush.
And Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 MPG highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 MPG highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It took me by surprise, I'm afraid, when I found out yesterday's, don't you know that I heard through the grapevine, not much longer would you be mine.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and surprisingly enough, I have allowed Michael Ambrose and his gal Comet to stay in the studio. Michael,
thank you, Laura.
Would you like to say hello?
Hi, I am.
All right. For those of you who would like to comment on Michael's insensitivity, please do so. Call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1, and that handsome and sexy voice will explain to you what you do from there. Or email us at info@winecrush.com. Before the break, we asked this wine teaser. Who said a waltz and a glass of wine invite an encore?
The answer would be Johann Strauss.
Levi's brother.
Yes. No, this Johann composed waltzes and polkas. Now, here's something almost no one knows. Johann Strauss's son was also a composer of waltzes, and he's the better known of the two family composers.
Michael, I've seen you tap dance around subjects, but can you waltz?
Honey, I can waltz, shag, two-step, boogaloo, you name it. I got the magic feet.
You know, I think I've had the pleasure of seeing that usually entertaining exhibition at one of our friends' weddings. If you're really kind, I bet our listeners would love to see pictures of that up on the website.
I'll see if I can find some.
All right, our theme this week is wine education. And what we are looking to do is give you guideposts to find intellectual stimulation outside of the wine crush.
Right.
To teach you a little bit more about the grape and all its glory. It's getting on to that time of the year where whatever state you're living in, and by the way, all 50 states do have wineries, is doing some kind of wine festival.
That's right.
And a lot of times when you go to these wine festivals, they have great seminars. They have great sit-down cooking classes. They have great events where they actually encourage you to sit down to hear about the wines and how they pair with foods or how they came into being. Now, it's interesting. I have done a lot of these wine festivals, and I have done a lot of trade shows. And I will tell you, people do not take advantage of this opportunity like they should.
No.
I have seen countless of these where we have had just legends in the wine business getting ready to teach at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There will be four seats filled out of the whole auditorium.
Yeah.
So for those of you listening to The Crush, please do take advantage of a situation if someone's going to get up and speak at one of these festivals. Chances are they are truly a pioneer or an educator if they are being asked to fill that slot.
Right. And there's also a good chance to taste their wines at the same time, because what they're going to be doing is they're going to be talking about the wines and the flavor components. And all of a sudden you can say, hey, I get that now.
And see, the good news is after you've listened to that 30 or 45 minute seminar, you go back out into the wine festival and you can just drink what you want to, feeling like you have indeed not wasted a day because you learned something.
Absolutely.
All right. But if you don't want to hop in your car and rub elbows with a whole lot of people or sit and listen to someone talk at you, here at The Crush, we can always help you answer a lot of your questions. To answer your questions, all you have to do is reach out and touch someone, and you can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. One of you brave pioneering souls has reached out to touch our wine line. We have Rob.
Hi, this is Robert from Gibsonia, PA. I have a question about grilled teriyaki vegetables and grilled steaks, and was wondering what type of wine goes well with those combinations. Thank you.
Michael, I'm definitely going to let you tackle the grilled teriyaki vegetables, because every time I try and grill something, it just rolls down and burns tragically.
Yeah. Grilled teriyaki vegetables, what immediately pops in my mind is Gewürztraminer. Gewürztraminer means spicy, the teriyaki spice, all of those Asian flavors. If you're grilling on the grill, you know, just let those things sit there for about 2 minutes on each side, pull them off, pour a little bit of the sauce over that, and you've got Gewürztraminer right there that'll work really well with it.
There you go. That's what you can do with your vegetables. As far as your steak, if you're using teriyaki glaze on a steak, I would go with Cabernet, go with Merlot. Teriyaki tends to have a little sweetness and a little salt to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the sweetness in a California Cab or Merlot will really emphasize the oak and the rest of the fruit flavors.
On the wine line, you can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. And Laura, we've got Joyce from Columbus on the line.
Hi, Joyce. Welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, thank you. I'm happy you're taking my call. I have a question.
Okay. What would that be?
I'm a vodka and tonic drinker.
Okay.
And which is nice. But I know that wine is healthier for me. And I'd like to know if you have any suggestions, knowing my palate, of wine I might like.
Joyce, I can address this one fairly easily, because when I'm not drinking wine, I'm a vodka soda drinker.
Atta girl.
So we all have our priorities. believe or not, Joyce, it's going to be very easy for you to transition into Sauvignon Blancs and into Chardonnays.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, vodka tonic, very simple drink. Generally, you're not looking at any kind of flavors, but of course the quinine. And are you a lime or a lemon woman?
Lime.
There you go. Then you and I are on the same page. So you get a little bit of lime, a little bit of citrus, and you have the quinine. Sauvignon Blanc is going to be a great bet for you, because you get the citrus fruit, you get that lime, you'll get the lemon, and you'll still have that nice little balance that you usually get from the quinine.
Wow. Well, that's great. Well, thank you. Do you recommend any particular winery?
You know, I do. I think anything, if you look for Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand, that's the place that's going to give you that big acid flavor that you're looking for.
Oh, great.
That'll definitely work. Specifically, Joyce, there is a wine called Rodney Strong Charlotte's Home Sauvignon Blanc for the group of us that drink vodka on a regular basis, usually when we get done with our producer. That's the one that usually appeals to all of us.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time and your answers, because this will help me a lot.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Perfect. Joyce, thank you for calling and being part of The Crush. Know that any vodka drinker is always welcome here.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
Next up, we've been holding back another important piece of wine education that will help you be more knowledgeable. We'll share that, maybe, right after the break.
Yeah.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires' technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide green ninjas around the track?
Green ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
I got a letter from your lawyer today, ordering me to sign my life away. Instead of signing on the dotted line, I poured myself another glass of wine.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And for those of you who are concerned as to whether or not the crush is green, in keeping with being environmentally responsible, all wine bottles that we have consumed during the making of this show will be recycled.
Absolutely.
We have had a lot of fun today talking about wine education. The true people who claim to be experts in the wine business will tell you this. The more I learn about wine, the more I realize the less I know. At some point, there is not a point where you look around and say,
"Woo-hoo, I know it all.
I'm done."
Yeah.
You're never done. And every day someone plants a new vine or finds a new cologne, and then you have to learn it all over again. So for you obsessive compulsive people, stay out of wine education. You'll wind up drinking more than you read.
You know, to close the last piece of education today, Laura, I want to ask you if you can give me the definition of two terms I'm going to throw out. Okay, those two words would be bung and wedgie.
Bungs, for our listeners, are the plastic stoppers that go into wine barrels.
Wedgie?
If you're going for wedgie for the wine business, I'm afraid I am wined out.
No, this is actually a term that is used by almost any good waiter or waitress or server. It is a little piece of rubber that they keep in their apron or their pocket so that if you get to a table and it's not balanced and it's rocking back and forth, they wedge that wedgie under one of the legs of the table to stabilize the table.
And Michael, if you don't mind, I'm going to take off on that aspect of your part of this show. And I'm going to recommend a book specifically for our brethren that are in the restaurant industry. It is called Sales and Service for the Wine Professional, and it is by Brian Julian.
Cool.
And it is the definitive wine Bible on anything that a waiter coming up to sell you a glass of wine needs to know.
No kidding.
And from what I have seen, cover of The Speculator just recently talks about how America detests the service and the wine service in restaurants. It is something that needs to be flying off the shelves right now. If you're going to serve me, if you're going to be pouring my glass and opening that bottle of however much I paid for that bottle, you better be able to, number one, understand that you actually do sell it. Number two, read well enough that I don't have to give you the BIN number. If people would take the time to go do this, what this would mean for you, our listeners, would be a better dining experience, which is what everyone has been griping about and what's hit the news lately. A better educated wait staff is a better time for our listeners.
Yep.
We have time for one more email before this great show comes into port.
You can call us at 877-4CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com.
We have an email from Kirsten, and this is actually something that's pertinent to the show today. You talked on a recent show about a certain Italian wine that is facing a lawsuit, and thus the wine will be priced much below its usual cost. I cannot remember the name of this variety of wine and can't figure it out. I checked to see if you'd blogged about it and can't find much of anything. Can you let me know or maybe mention it again on the show? Thank you so very much. Kristen, number one, thank you for saying thank you. I think that's one of the biggest things we can do today, say please and thank you. It
yes.
goes a long way.
Let's get on with it.
All right, Kirsten, what I was talking about is Brunello, B-R-U-N-E-L-L-O, and it's a type of wine that's produced in Italy from the Sangiovese grape. And there are producers, there's Antinori, there's Frescobaldi, and there is Bonfi that are being contested because they're saying that the wines are not 100% Sangiovese grapes. As of right now, the wines indeed have been declared to not be sellable. So we're finding out to what extent they're going to be declassified. And not only is Brunello being questioned, but Montepulciano is being questioned as well. And that's a little town, little region right next door to Brunello. So once again, what it means to our listeners, keep your eyes out for Antinori, Frescobaldi, and Bonfi wines in the next 18 months. If they have to declassify these $45 to $95 bottles, we're going to drink cheap and well.
Cheap, great wine.
On that note, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And yet another great voyage of the Wine Crush comes into port. Just remember, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told. And in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.